random jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbors at Stacks and Trestle in Scraps of Information.
The other morning over Eleven's, Evadne and I started talking about the old days. Of course, Evadne can talk about much older days than I can. But we were talking about the days we can both remember, when we were in the theatre. The days of counting the curtain calls, of after-the-show suppers and champagne, and then finally home in a taxi, usually to some dingy back room in a backstreet digs, where one would find Evadne huddled over a gas fire wearing mittens and toasting cheese. Evadne was always there to bring one down to earth. And, of course, she still is. As I was reminded a little later that morning, as we began looking at one of my many photograph albums. Isn't it lovely looking at all these old photographs again, Evadne?
Well, it's all right for you, I suppose. Not really much fun for me.
Why ever not, dear?
Because all the photographs are of you.
Oh, no, they're not. You're in a lot of them, too.
Well, I haven't seen a single one with me in so far.
All right, I'll jolly soon find you some. Yes. Now, what about that one there? Of me in front of the orchestra bus in 1952. That's you with your head stuck under the bonnet. And that one of me standing in front of the Lyceum at Crewe. Those are your feet, dear.
Where?
There at the top. Up the ladder behind me. I think you were bill posting. Or lighting the gas lamp. Oh, and what about that one of me on the platform at St. Pancras Station, shaking hands with the engine driver? And see that feather sticking up out of that cloud of steam?
Yeah?
Well, that was your hat. I remember that hat. I think it was a vulture feather. I know you always used to say that every time you put it on, the theatre cat ran for cover. Oh, that's a nice snap of me, isn't it? Cecil Beaton took that one. He signed it, see?
And that's exactly what I mean. Apart from one or two bits of me that got in by accident, those photographs are all of you.
Exactly. If you were so keen on having your photograph taken, you shouldn't have kept vanishing up ladders or behind milk churns when people were flashing their cameras. The trouble is, you see, you've never had that natural flair. A flair for finding center stage that I have. That's why I became a star. And you spent your time in the pit, waving a little stick at that motley collection of alcoholics you called an orchestra. Oh, I say, isn't that a lovely one of me there? I really did look quite ravishing in Oriental costume, didn't I?
The baby you're carrying on your back doesn't look too happy.
That was in the musical play, The Mousnay. Remember, I was singing that jolly little Lionel Monckton song, The Little Japanese Mama.
Of course, the thing audiences liked best about that show was the earthquake scene. And I must say, as directed by me, it was tremendously effective.
Well, they liked that, of course. I mean, no one's going to turn up their nose at an earthquake scene, are they? Especially in places where they usually got nothing more exciting than Izzy Bonn and performing dogs. But they always adored me singing that song. It should be on the piano somewhere. I'll dig it out and remind you if you like.
I don't suppose you could mind the earthquake scene instead, could you?
Evadne, if it's anything theatrical, I can do it. But it seems silly to mind when one has been blessed with such splendid vocal cords. Ah, here it is. I bet this will bring back a few memories.
Very possibly. But it won't seem the same without the earthquake.
Happy little Jackie, mother's little baby boy. Round little head and big brown eyes. Brave as a judge and so wise. Nice new toy. He's going out for a nice laptop. Touched on the back of his ear. Mama. Be good, baby bear. If you pinch him, he will cry. Hey, 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 hey. If you feel him, he will smile, for he's sleeping all the while. If you tickle him, he will know. Peeping over your shoulder, baby's body face you'll find. Close to your neck, he'll clutch and cling. Safe in the sheets, he'll sit and swing. Up we go to market, baby sitting up behind. Riding along like a samurai, nose in the air and head on high. Baby good, baby bear. I think that's the first time I ever sung that song all the way through with a dry neck.
What do you mean, dear?
Well, the baby on my back used to dribble.
Oh.
Of course, I'd have replaced him with a doll if his doting father hadn't been our publicity man.
No.
Now, who can that be, I wonder?
It's all right, Dame Elder, I know.
Thank you, Maud.
Is there anyone as you don't want to say?
Well, I can't think of anyone offhand, dear.
I can think of someone I don't want to see.
Just a minute, Maud. Who, dear?
Maud's sister, Guthrum.
Well, I can hardly tell her that now, can I? It's all right, Maud. Even the doctor's at home to everyone this morning.
Very well, Dame Elder.
And you can uncross your fingers, Evadne. I happen to know that Guthrum's gone on a coach trip to Lowestoft today.
Well, if she wanted to go on a coach trip, why didn't she go on a nice long one? Back home to Bodmin.
I suspect that even Maud wishes she'd do that, dear. But apparently every time she phones home to tell them she's coming back, someone there talks her into taking a few more days away.
It must be nice to be wanted.
Major Dunn Ford, Dame Elder, I'm sending a man.
Thank you, Maud, dear. I do wish she wouldn't shout.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Major. How nice to see you.
Good morning, Major.
Come along in, sit yourself down. Here, I'll move these old photograph albums of mine and you can have this chair.
Oh, there's no need for that, Hilda. I don't want to disturb you. I'll be quite happy parking myself over there.
She's only trying to draw your attention to her photograph albums, Major. And I warn you, if you're not very careful, you'll find yourself being frog-marched down memory lane.
I say, you don't happen to have any photographs of Stackton in among that little lot, do you, Hilda?
I don't think the Rosa Charles ever played the Co-op Hall, Major. But if they did, you can bet your bottom dollar she's standing in front of us.
You will no doubt have gathered, Major. Evadne's in a rather waspish mood this morning. You see, we've been up and down memory lane quite a few times since breakfast, and she's upset that we've seen so little of her there, like the coelacanth. She appears to go back a very long way without having left much trace of herself.
What do you know about the coelacanth? You wouldn't know a coelacanth if one walked up and bit you.
I bet you would, though. When you were a girl, you probably had one instead of a goldfish.
Well, ladies, if I've come at an awkward time...
Not at all, Major, not at all, dear. You really mustn't let our playful badinage discomfort you.
We're only joking, aren't we, Abner?
Yes, you'll know when we get really serious, Major. You'll have to duck.
So what can we do for you then, Major?
Well, I'm quite possibly being a little premature, but have you been approached recently by the Rotary Club?
Not on Mastion. No, I have passed the time of day with the occasional member in the high street.
They've not written for you, then?
No. Well, not since they wrote to thank me for being such a good sport in their charity run a week or two back. It was so kind of them to send that beautiful bouquet. After all, I really did nothing. Just lay in bed and let them push me for 25 miles.
Ah, but singing all the way, Hilda, singing all the way.
That, Major, is what being a good trooper is surely all about. A cheery song always makes the task seem lighter, don't you think?
It was all very well for you, propped up on your pillows like the Queen of Sheba. I was stuck in an old iron bathtub for 25 miles. Trying to play the banjo.
Yes, and I must say, Abney, as we overtook you, it struck me that you were sounding better than ever. Oh, didn't we have some fun that day? Nevertheless, Major, I do hope the Rotary Club isn't going to ask us to do it again.
Oh, no, no. Their latest idea is mercifully more restful. They're going to organize an exhibition called Stacton Through the Ages. It's amazing the things that people have tucked away. For example, did you know that Nellie Mellinger has in her possession a fragment of a monk's gravestone from the old monastery?
How did she come by there?
Apparently it was given to her one Christmas by the then president of the Historical Society.
Oh.
Have neither of you ever seen it?
No.
It's rather nicely mounted in a cast-iron trivet. She uses it as a teapot stand.
There's nothing sacred to that woman.
She's also got the handcuffs and leg irons from the old jail. They were another gift from the same fellow.
But their relationship doesn't sound awfully wholesome.
So where are they holding this exhibition?
In Mary Mellinger's back room.
We're rather hoping that this exhibition will flush out a good deal of stuff. There's a letter on the way to you, I know, asking you if you would organize the photographic section of the exhibition. You have such a flair for that sort of thing. We were all most impressed with that little display you mounted at the Music Emporium recently.
A correction, Major. I did that under my supervision, if Abney. Supervision? All you did was point to the pile of sheet music on a wall and say, that lot goes there. Then you went out to tea.
Ah, yes, but everything was already selected and sorted. All you had to do was stick it up. Any fool could have done that. Well, any fool did.
I say, I'm awfully sorry. I didn't mean to put the cat among the pigeons. However, I'm sure the Rotary Club's letter is quite properly addressed to you both.
How much photographic material do we have?
To tell the truth, not very much so far. Lorna's been going through all our snaps, of course. But they're mostly of picnics, people paddling, and horses looking over gates. So what we thought we'd do is put out a general call for material and ask for it all to be delivered here. If that's all right, then you two good ladies can choose what you think is most interesting. It'll give the exhibition a personal viewpoint.
Oh, that's a very good idea, Major. A personal viewpoint. Isn't that a good idea, Evadne?
I would say it rather depends upon which of us actually does the choosing, Hilda.
Well, we both will, dear.
No, I mean, which of us actually has the final choice?
It will be a joint decision, Evadne.
Isn't it amazing how reasonable she can sound, Major? But who will make this joint decision, Hilda?
We will, together.
Yes, how?
Oh, Evadne, how do two rational, sensible people arrive at such decisions? By a process of reasoned discussion. A willingness to listen to each other's arguments, and a determination to reach a mutually satisfactory conclusion. This, I have to see.
So it agreed, then. The one here of the little boy in Eton collar prodding the pig goes on the no pile.
Yes, agreed. I certainly don't like the look of that pig.
And I don't like the look of the little boy in the Eton collar.
I say, the no pile's getting quite big, isn't it?
Well, there's not much wall space in that exhibition room above the library anyway. So we might just as well be choosing. Now, what's the next one you've got there?
Three old men sitting in a field.
How old?
Oh, about 90 by the look of them.
No, I mean, how old is the photograph?
Wait a minute. Yes, yes, this one's got it written on the back. Dinner time for the hay mowers, 1899.
Oh, now that sounds interesting.
Certainly doesn't look it.
What's the only picture of agricultural workers at work that we've come across so far?
They're not at work, they're having their dinner. And we wouldn't have known that if it wasn't written on the back. None of them are eating anything.
Well, they've obviously already partaken of their humble repast, Hilda, and are resting briefly in the summer sun prior to resuming their labour with scythe and sickle.
Or, to put it simply, three old men sitting in a field. No, I don't like the look of them.
Well, I do.
I think it's a boring picture.
Well, I don't.
Then it's stalemate again, isn't it? Do we go to arbitration?
Oh, anything to save time and pointless interminable argument.
Right. Heads or tails?
Heads.
It's tails. You lose. And that's another one for the no pile. Oh, I say that. No, look. Here's a pretty one. In its hand colours, and it's a picture of a gypsy girl selling bluebells.
And what's that got to do with Stacton? Could be anywhere.
You know, she looks rather like I did in The Gypsy Princess, doesn't she?
Yes, too posed. She's about as much like a gypsy as you did, too.
It's 1888, you know, and it says, a gypsy girl selling bluebells.
Why don't you move your thumb and read the small print? Yes, you see, there you are. Granby Street Studios, Nottingham. It's obviously a studio job. The things they try to palm you off with around here, really.
All right, you don't like it. Your toss and my call.
Very well. Call?
Tails.
It's heads. The gypsy girl's out. And bye-bye, bluebells. Chuck it away.
So be it, if that's what the fates decree.
Hilda, where are you putting that?
Down here, dear, on the side table.
Oh, no, just a minute. That's the no pile there in that old shoebox, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the yes pile on that tray.
That's right.
So what's the little pile down there on the side table, then?
Well, they're the ones that I like and you don't that we've agreed to throw out.
And then why are they being kept separate from the ones that I like and you don't that we've agreed to throw out?
Because I'm going to use them anyway.
I might know you up something. You've been behaving far too reasonably all morning. Well, I'll tell you this. We are not having any of those pictures on the wall of that exhibition. We agreed.
Oh, I'm not going to put them on the wall, evidently. No, no. I intend to enter a rather special and very personal little exhibit of my own.
What's that?
A folding scrap screen.
I never gave you that idea.
Well, I assume, dear, that being a Scot, you have at some time visited that little house at number 24 Cheyne Row in Chelsea, in which that great fellow countryman of yours, the historian Thomas Carlyle, resided.
And what if I have?
If you have, you will no doubt have noticed the scrap screen made by Mrs. Carlyle that stands in her bedroom there. That simple little four-fold screen belonging to the Carlyles is covered in tastefully arranged pictures of all the things that dear Jane liked best. Each little picture pasted on with her own fair hands, it is now quite famous in its way. And I intend to make a similarly personal screen, which I shall present to Stetton, and which I have every reason to believe will eventually become as famous as that one in Cheyne Row. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Thus was born the idea of Hilda Brackett's Stetton screen. But alas, as ever, Evadne was there to spoil it. Well, I got so tired of her standing at my elbow, criticizing, carping, and pulling off pictures that I had just stuck on, that I finally bowed to the inevitable, and I let her do half, the back half. Well, I thought we can always stand it with that side to the wall, which is exactly what I did, with Maud's help. I got it to the exhibition hall early on the morning of the opening day.
Oh, do not look lovely. You can't see the doctor's side at all.
Well, I don't think anyone really wants to see a lot of old basket weavers at work, Maud. Or endless pictures of the town hall car park full of empty sheep pens.
And I reckon you're about right too, Dame Mildred. All I know is the doctor's a clever woman in her way. But she does give you the willies, don't she?
I don't know about the willies, then.
I mean, Her side's depressing, isn't it? All dark and horrible. And too many old misery dicks with bandy legs and whiskers.
Well, the way the doctor describes it, it's reminiscent of the cinematic styles of Louis Buñuel and Ingmar Bergman.
What do you mean by that, then?
That it gives everybody the willies, I suppose. Well, now, I don't think there's much more we can do here just yet, dear. So why don't we pop across the corridor and see how the Rotarians are getting on with their side of the business?
They've got Arthur's old flags and whistle in there, you know, from when you were a station master.
Yes.
And that notice board as it used to stick out, telling you as the last train had gone and the next one weren't due for a while.
That's the sort of thing that history's made of.
Maudie, who are you?
Oh, heavens, that sounds suspiciously like the dulcet tones of your sister Gudrun, doesn't it?
Ah, it does, Dame Mildur. Now, who could have been daft enough to tell her where I was, I wonder?
It's up the stairs, Gudrun. Just follow the sign.
Does that answer your question?
No, I'll carry the pictures, dear. We don't want any more accidents. You go on ahead and make sure the door's open for me.
As you like. What a place to hold it. Are you sure you'll be able to manage downstairs?
Oh, do get along, woman, before I drop this lot.
You know, I think them two's beginning to hit it off, Dame Mildur.
Well, they do have one thing in common, dear. They're both a bit of a nuisance.
So, there you are. What a place to hold an exhibition. Come on, Doctor, there and there.
I know perfectly well where they are. And do please keep your voice down, Gudrun. The library is just below us.
Hello, there. They had a nice journey.
Oh, shut up. Put these frames down.
What are you doing here, Goody? Now you're talking to the general public, you know. Not this afternoon.
Oh, no clothes. Tain't likely to make much difference if you ask me. Stacton folk may be daft as brushes, but I doubt if even they want to come all this way just to see this lot. You'll not catch me coming. Not if there was handing out favours. Wait, if I wanted to see Arthur's little whistle, I could have seen it at all.
So what you're doing here, then?
Trying to find you, that's what. I went up to the old man's looking for you, and you'd gone. And the doctor happened to have a taxi waiting, so she said as though she'd bring me down.
What a very kind thought, then.
Well, Hilda, it was a choice between bringing her down here or letting her wait at home. And on balance, I considered it safer to bring her. But it turned out I was wrong. She broke the glass and three of my picture frames. You sat on them in the taxi.
So what you want then, you great daft lummox?
I only come to tell you as I was going home to gardening.
Well, goodbye then.
Oh, goodbye then.
Goodbye. I'm going now. This minute. I'm going in the morning.
Lanky Harry fool. He's coming this way with his wagon again. So I've got to lift back.
Your family, do they know you're coming, Bill?
No, Dame Mildur, they don't. I'm going to give them a little surprise.
I bet you are.
It's been too quiet on the Bodmin front for too long.
Incidentally, dear, what are those pictures you've just brought with you?
Oh, there were just a few left over, so I thought I might as well frame them up and use them.
And where are you going to put them, dear? There's not an inch of wall space left.
Oh, yes, there is. There's that bit over there, where you've done that thingamajig.
I'll have you know, Gudrun, my dear. That thingamajig, as you call it, is my folding scrap... Is our folding scrap screen. And it is not dumped. It's arranged.
You must be joking. You can only see one side of it.
Exactly. It's been very carefully arranged.
Well, that's not where it goes. It goes out in the middle of the room so that people can walk round it. I've already put marks on the floor there, see? Maud, Gudrun, perhaps you would be kind enough to lift the screen onto those chalk marks in the middle of the floor there, would you?
Is that all right, Dame Mildur?
Well, I suppose so, dear. Seeing the doctor's side can only make people wonder the more at the excellence of my side.
Oh, come along then, goody, get old.
Get old of what?
Get old of the screen.
Oh, that's the trouble with such and always was. People haven't got enough to do, so they're always finding ways of wasting time. What you need's a bingo hall.
Oh, stop your rattling, get old.
Oh, very well.
Got it. Left. Oh, swinging round.
Oh, do be careful, both of you.
Oh, this is a race. Oh.
anything else.
It's all right, Daddy. I'm behind it. I've got it.
Was you meant to do that?
Oh, dearie, Bethany. I seem to have done a certain amount of damage to your side. Well, it's your own silly fault. It wouldn't have happened if you'd left it where it was. Honestly, Hilda. And I can't repair it. I've got no pictures left. Well, I suppose I could always let you have a few of me out of my photograph album now.
Forget it. You set it against the wall.
Very sensible. Believe me, Evadne, if we'd left that thing right out in the middle of the room, as sure as God made little apples, some clumsy idiot would have knocked it over. And then it could have got seriously damaged. I mean, on my side.
That was Scraps of Information, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Brackett written by Gerald Frau. To assist Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett, we welcomed Jean Haywood as Maud. Our thanks also to this week's guests, Liz Smith and Anthony Sharp, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. Production was by John Dyas.